Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Bicycles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Brandy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week, a marathon road trip edition of Jordan Jesse Go with way, way, way more bondage content than ever before. Let's go! It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Do you think that was a convincing intro that we just did? I tried to pump it up a little bit this week.
Yeah, I felt it.
This week we're recording the intro in a medieval battle zone. Well, look out, broadsword. Archery.
Yeah. The bowmen are ready.
Well, look out. Here comes the pikemen.
Look out for the catapult.
You got it. Trebuchet.
Queen Elizabeth. Love that queen.
Oh, boy. We got an exciting show this week. Number one, on this show, we're going to talk about... There's a big segment of the show this week that's about doing it.
Yeah. You know, boning.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm saying is maybe if you're a little kid, it's not appropriate for kids.
Yeah, there's going to be some salty talk.
Maybe not to be listened to at work. I mean, it's us. It's not like we're getting really graphic or anything, but there is that is a subject of this week's show. You may remember last week we talked about Ryan called in to talk about the erotic ball he was going to attend. We have Ryan in here to talk about that, so that will be a subject. Just want to make that clear up front, Jordan.
Absolutely.
But Jordan, can I take this opportunity to counterbalance that?
We're warning the sensitive listeners about the salty talk, but we're not warning them about this violent medieval battle we're in.
No, because
that's where America's priorities are. Sure, it's okay to broadcast in the middle of a medieval battle where people are being decapitated and catapults are going off all over the place. But as soon as we mention bondage,
Jordan. You're a lefto pinky.
No, I'm just saying. I think that
children putting daisies inside the barrel of the broadswords here, Jordan. Is that what you're trying to do?
A, broadswords don't have barrels, and B, I want to be encouraged people to be comfortable with their bodies, with sexuality.
If Carthage laid siege to your city, you would just open up the gates, put down the drawbridge, and let them in. I would be on the front lines, boiling the oil to dump down on their siege men.
Yeah, well, let's see how brave you are when the Spanish Armada comes knocking. Their Catholicism.
Jordan, I want to balance out all this salty talk.
Okay.
I'm going to go look at doggies today.
Oh, really?
Didn't you have a dream about me and
doggies?
Yeah,
I had a dream where I came over to your house to do the podcast, and your house was just filled with pups.
Here's a message to the dream haters. Fuck you. All these people who don't want us to talk about dreams on the show.
Yeah, I think that was evidence right there that dreams can be really compelling and
exactly.
Funny.
Because there was 1,000 pups in my house. And it was because we're close friends and we're probably a little bit psychic.
True.
We probably have a special bond together. Remember that one time when we both called each other and we both got busy signals?
Mm-hmm. And when that waiter messed up our orders at the restaurant and we looked at each other like, oh my God, what's going on?
Yep, you know what I'm talking about.
I know.
You know. That's why we're such good pals, Jordan, you and me. What kind of pup do you think I should get? I'm thinking about getting a brown pup.
Brown pup's probably pretty good.
It's a brown pup. There's one.
I hear they can be rowdy.
But I'll tell you,
being brown makes something rowdy.
Jordan, what about this? There's this other pup. It's got tiger stripes.
I don't know.
It's pretty cute, Jordan. It's a pretty cute pup.
I believe it, man. I'm pretty much sold on it.
It's got funny tiger stripes on it.
But
the brown pup is a scruffy pup. And you know how I feel about scruffy pups.
I do.
No, it's going to be so
exciting.
So
the tiger
exciting.
One isn't scruffy at all?
No, the tiger one is more sleek. The tiger one is sort of looks a little bit like it could be it's part pit bull or something like that.
Okay.
But it's small. It's still pretty small. And they made a big point of talking about how gentle it is or whatever, but
right.
It's sleek. It has that kind of pit bully, kind of sleek, smooth, shiny hair, the shiny coat, with a little bit of the old tiger stripes, a little bit of tiger stripes mixed in there.
That doesn't sound great to me.
It's a cute dog.
Okay.
Jordan, it's
all right,
cute.
I'm just saying, based
Jordan,
on the description,
have you even seen
I would
this dog?
Not want... No,
Jordan,
I've
have
heard...
you even
no,
seen
I
this
have
dog?
Not seen the dog.
Who's seen this dog between you and me?
You have.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm telling you, it's an adorable dog.
You're saying that was not an appealing description.
Okay, well, what about
sounds
the scruffy...
Sounds like a pretty weak dog.
What about the scruffy brown dog?
Yeah, that's great. I can get behind scruffy brown dog.
It is great. It's really scruffy.
I believe it.
I think all dogs should be scruffy. I don't think any dog should not be... I think if it's not scruffy, I'm not interested as a general rule, with the exception of if it has tiger stripes.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? I think all dogs should look like a dog that belonged to a hobo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got a little scruffy, like a mustache-y kind of area. You know what I'm talking about.
You get some food in it.
Yeah.
It'll drip when they take a drink.
Oh, I'm really excited to have a new pup around the house.
Yeah.
Teresa and I finally got to the point where the word dog doesn't make us cry.
Okay.
Which was a big achievement for us since our last dog passed in very sad circumstances. But yeah, we're ready. And we've been talking about names for the dog, possible names. Teresa's come up with some good ones.
For instance,
Hambone.
Hambone.
Hambone's a really good one that she came up with. There's one more that she came up with, but I don't remember what it is. And I'm focusing in right now on Hambone. Because I've thought about other names, but and you know, if you have suggestions about names, you can post them up on the message board. I'm interested to see what your ideas are, but I'm liking Hambone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it depends on the dog ultimately. Hambone's pretty good. I'll tell you one thing.
What about dog.com?
No, Jordan. Jordan. It's a .org. It's a non-profit. Or .net, maybe. Yeah. .biz?
Dog.tv.
Dog.tv.
Call it that.
Why aren't we out pitching Dog.tv, Jordan?
I don't know.
Anyway, we're also going to play Would You Rather on this week's show. We've got Does It Hold Up? Jordan, we're going to talk about ate some country fried steak, right?
Yes. Last week on the show, I wanted to see if some things that I liked as a child or as a younger person held up. If I re-experienced these things that I enjoyed, would I still really like them? And later on the show, I'm going to talk about the movie The Jerk with Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
And a hand job.
Great. So those three things that Jordan really liked when he was younger, we'll find out if he still likes them when we come back. Or later on in the show, maybe, on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse.
Jordan.
If you're a regular listener, then you already know that my primary goal in moving here to Los Angeles was to meet Claude Brodesser-Ackner, host of National Public Radio and KCRW's The Business.
Mm-hmm.
A few months ago, there was a big public radio Los Angeles party thrown by a website called Media Bistro, a very insidery media website. I did not get invited, and thus I did not get to meet Claude Brodesser-Ackner.
A shame.
But Jordan, there's good news.
Okay.
I visited KCRW this week.
And?
I did not meet Claude Brodesser-Ackner.
Well, then why'd you say good news?
Well, I thought I would set people up for me having met and then take them down a peg for making assumptions.
Mission accomplished. I feel like I'm on a lower peg than I was before.
I went to KCRW. You know, I have, Sound of Young America is a real radio show now. You know, we got distribution. I'm supposed to, like, meet with stations and stuff like that.
Sure.
Went to KCRW. One nice guy named Eric knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
He works in the music library there, which is very impressive, by the way. It's got a lot of stickers on all the CDs.
Yeah.
I don't know what the stickers are for exactly. I met Nick Harcourt.
I've already made that joke about KCRW in their pledge drive asking for money to expand their music library.
No.
Do you want me to make it?
Yeah, roll.
Yeah, so I was listening to KCRW, and they're asking for additional donations to, quote-unquote, create a digital music library for themselves. And at the end, they patted themselves on the back for raising something like $5 million to start a digital music library. I'm glad I'm giving them money to download iTunes.
There you go. Jordan Morris, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Jordan Morris, comedian.
Look for me on yucks.com.
I met Matt Holtzman, producer of the business.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what he looks like?
I'm guessing dumpy.
Well, I mean, all people in public radio are a little bit dumpy.
Oh, okay.
He's more hipstery than you would expect.
Really?
He's got one of those kind of gray, short hair, short beard looks going on. It's kind of like in, I'd say, maybe his early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hipstery, gray, short hair, short beard.
Gotcha.
You know, that was cool. KCRW's in a weird basement.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's in a weird basement.
In Santa Monica.
You go onto the campus of, I thought it would be in some sort of beachfront villa.
Yeah.
That's what I was imagining.
Maybe in a loft.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably a loft.
No, actually, it's on the campus of Santa Monica Community College.
Mm-hmm.
You go into this building that has like the student union. You go down this unmarked kind of dark, dank stairway. Then you type in some secret numbers into a thing. And then all of a sudden you're at KCRW.
Interesting.
It's weird.
Hmm.
Everybody's desks are in like one big room.
There's only three rooms.
A
place selling Pizza Hut personal pan pizzas.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what they eat for lunch. Anyway, I'm really disappointed, but I left a message for Claude Brodesser-Ackner. I just let everybody know, have Claude Brodesser-Ackner get in touch with me.
It's very important.
Then we can meet and we can have
can,
him come co-host Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah, you can go I about want, your life.
Do you think we'll be able? I think we'll be able to get him to come co-host Jordan
Jesse
Go.
I hope so, man. I hope he comes.
I think it's going to happen, Jordan.
Some corny jokes.
I think it's going to happen, Jordan.
I sure as fuck hope so.
Claude Brodesser-Ackner on this very show.
Or else I am jumping ship if it doesn't happen soon.
Jordan, if I had to choose between the Sound of Young America being carried on KCRW, one of the most listened to public radio stations in the country, and Claude Brodesser-Ackner visiting us and co-hosting Jordan Jesse Go, you know which one I would pick?
KCRW?
Yeah, KCRW carrying the show, but I would love to have both of them happen.
That would be nice.
Both of them happen. We'll be back.
Oh, and also he brings a cake with him.
Yeah.
Yum, yum.
And it's shaped like a baseball and has the stitches on it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like a little baseball guy in it.
Yeah, and it says, congratulations, Jesse.
Yeah. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
La, 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 la.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
We're putting together a little marathon show here.
You know
why?
Yeah, this is a marathon. Because it's holiday road trip season.
Holiday road trip season, exactly. We're not going to have a show next week because we're making our own holiday road trips. I'm sure you're going down to Orange County
Absolutely.
For Thanksgiving. I'm headed up to the Bay Area for Thanksgiving. I've got about 12 family-related events.
Sure.
When your folks are divorced, then my fiance's family lives up there.
Yeah.
It's a little very complicated negotiation where you're going to go for what part of Thanksgiving, who gets the day after Thanksgiving to hang
out
with you, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
all this kind of stuff. So anyway.
Tightrope. You're going to be walking a social tightrope.
Absolutely. And somebody's going to get hurt, Jordan.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get hurt. But marathon show, but
it's
think
the
people,
voters.
I think this is a fun show.
Yeah.
I think people are enjoying this right now.
Why wouldn't they be?
Because they're assholes,
it's
maybe.
Salty.
Maybe they're making
Definitely.
A mistake. They're making a mistake not enjoying
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Maybe they're a prude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I'm a little bothered by the content of this show.
Well, that's understandable.
Makes me uncomfortable.
You're
I ain't never did it. Let's open up the phone line, shall
sure.
we?
Hi, Jordan, Jesse. This is Kate from Virginia calling, and I wanted to tell you a dream that my husband had that was funny. In it, he was trying to chase down this serial killer, and he just couldn't figure out who it was. Then at the end, he met up with a policeman who had finally solved the crime. And so he asked him, well, who is the serial killer? And they said, it's Superman, and there's nothing we can do about it. And then he woke up. And I think that's a pretty great dream. Bye.
That's great. And there's been a lot of talk as to whether or not this share a dream segment is a good idea for the show. And I think that proves that we will screen out only the top dreams
yeah.
like that one.
This is a 4-star operation
Absolutely.
We're running.
Absolutely.
Holy moly. There's nothing we can do about
There's
it.
Nothing.
You know why? He's all powerful.
Sure. Impervious to bullets.
Jordan, Jesse, hello. Brian. Okay, so here's the situation. It's raining out. I'm waiting for a friend. I decided to duck into a papaya dog to get a papaya drink. I'm standing there, and this, like, well-dressed guy wearing, you know, it's a little cold. He's got, like, an overcoat and a tie underneath that, shoulder bag, talking on his cell phone. Obviously, pretty drunk. It's only about 10 p.m., so he started early, I guess. I'm listening, actually, to the Ira Glass interview, so that's why I thought to call you after this happened. He's like, hey, and he makes this motion like, pull your earbuds out. And I say, yeah. He's like, okay, I need your help, sir. What sounds like, which word sounds like it means you're more drunk? Schnitzed or schnockered? And I was like, are those made up words? Or are these words I've never heard of? He's like, no, we just made them up. And we need to know which one sounds like you're more drunk. I went with schnitzed, but now I'm not sure. What do you guys think? Okay, I walked across the street to call so that I would be away with him, and it looks like a bum just joined him. And they're walking away together. What a weird thing. Okay, bye guys.
Always good. You know, Brian back in business lane always brings the heat on the phone lines.
He does.
He's shooting bullets.
Jeez. I think Brian made the right call. It's schnitz. Schnockered sounds like you're in love.
Schnockered is... I don't think they even made up schnockered.
Yeah?
Schnitzed is made up. Mm-hmm. That's not real. Schnockered, I think that's not made up.
Well, I like schnitzed either way. For drunk, schnitzed.
You know what? I'm going to put it this way. Either way, everyone's a winner.
Sure.
You know?
Because you're wasted.
Especially the bum.
And that bum... He's going to go hang out with that whatever advertising guy.
I like schnitzed.
Yeah.
I'm going schnitzed. Let's you made schnitzed. The right call, Brian. He's a smart guy. That's
yeah,
why,
don't second guess yourself, man.
That's why he's in grad school.
Mm-hmm.
He's a smart man.
Hello, Jordan and Jesse. This is Hector from Ypsilanti, Michigan. I am calling because I have a few things to add to your action items. First of all, Jordan, it is not Asia who sings the final countdown. It is Europe. I'm sure no one's told you that. And second of all, the man who is in Southland Tales and Revenge of the Nerds, his name is not John Booger. It is Booger T. Washington. And third, Jesse, what do you think about You God, a.k.a. Golden Arms? He's my favorite rapper. Bye.
I think that was such a spectacular call.
Booger T. Washington.
It's a home run, home mm-hmm. run, home run. I like how he brought up You God's nickname, Golden Arms.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll tell you the truth. When I was in high school there, I had some friends who loved the Wu-Tang Clan so much. I'd never been that into the Wu-Tang Clan. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's totally
bonkers.
I'm
in the Wu-Tang Clan demo. I've never been that into I don't have a problem with the Wu-Tang Clan.
No.
I like your same stuff everybody else likes. You know, your Ghostface, your Method Man, you know.
How many of those guys are there?
Your RZA being interviewed.
Okay.
But you know what? If I had to pick between the Wu-Tang Clan and RZA's other side project, the Grave Diggas,
you'd go Grave Diggas.
I'd go Grave Diggas. I love the Grave Diggas, and I respect the Wu-Tang Clan for their significance. But it's never connected with me necessarily, you know, except for the occasional Ghostface song.
Fair enough.
You God, pretty marginal Wu-Tang Clan member. I'm impressed that he has the guts to say that the You God is his favorite. I mean, not only his favorite rapper, but even just if it was his favorite Wu-Tang Clan member. You know what I mean? He might as well just say his favorite rapper's Inspecta Deck. You know what I'm saying, Jordan?
Yep, I do know that.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. He might as well just go down into the killer, reach into the killer bees.
I went to sleep.
Okay. I'm going to wake up Jordan, and we'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Guest in the studio, Jordan.
Ryan McKee, Los Angeles-based stand-up comic, writer, internet video maker.
Sure.
That's a title. Pseudo-journalist?
That's super journalist. I don't do so much journalism anymore.
I said pseudo-journalist.
Oh, pseudo. Yeah. I would rather go with super. Thanks.
That's nice.
Like, every once in a while, I just take off my comedian cloak.
I think describing yourself
into a super journalist.
Describing yourself as a super journalist, probably a sign that you're a pseudo journalist.
Good call. No, can't argue with that.
Ryan's not here in any of those guises today. Mm-hmm. We thought we would bring in Ryan as a sort of romance consultant.
Exactly, exactly.
Last week on the show, Ryan called in to tell us about, maybe that was 2 weeks ago on the show?
Yeah, it was last week.
Okay, last week on the show, Ryan called in to tell us about some kind of erotic event that he attended.
A bondage ball.
A bondage ball. There you go. Which apparently is
get the erotic event correct. It's got a name.
Okay. So Ryan attended an erotic event called a bondage ball. Bondage ball. What's that called?
A bondage ball.
And he's also attended. What was that other thing he's been at, Jordan?
Oh, recently Ryan attended the Style Life conference. Which
now
is,
that sounds like a great conference. That sounds like is that about flower arrangement and whatnot?
It's not about flower arrangement. It's not about spats. I'm gonna just go ahead and head you off at the pass there. Not about spats.
They were monocles.
You knew that he was going right for spats.
Yeah, I felt it. I could see his lips forming the word spat.
Nope. That's bad. Gonna shut it down.
Kid leather gloves? Kid leather gloves. Sorry.
Well, that came out of left field.
Yeah. No, actually, we've discussed this on the program before, the book, The Game.
The sad story of a man with no friends and how he almost made out with Courtney Love.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that your interpretation of the book,
Jesse? I read the book, and what this book is it's a book by Neil Strauss, who was a writer for the New York Times, who got very deeply involved in the world of pickup artists, mm-hmm. who are people who use tricks and deception.
And magic.
Don't forget the magic, yeah.
In order to make girls go out with them and hopefully sleep with them.
Yes.
And Neil Strauss was on the show, and the book is very interesting.
He was on Joe and Jesse Go?
He was on The Sound of Young America.
Okay.
It's a very interesting book. It's weird. It's kind of creepy in that he clearly wants to appeal to both people who think this is horrible and people who think this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's creepy what a good job he does of appealing to both of those groups.
Kind of like Girls Gone Wild guy.
No, not like Girls Gone Wild guy. Not
He's
at
a
all.
Sympathetic
He's
character.
He's gone on The View. He knows.
Yeah, sure. So, so this is this world of the pickup artist. And what did I think of the book?
Like, yeah.
Actually, I found it really kind of exciting and fascinating.
Okay. In a good or like a way that you would read something evil. Exciting and fascinating.
Generally in a good way. I mean, he does a good job of kind of being clear that he is aware of the kind of moral weirdnesses of this endeavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a little holier than thou sometimes. There's times when there'll be like, everybody was in the living room, you know, watching DVDs and grabbing butts, and then I retreated to my room to read a little Chaucer. There's like a lot of instances like that where you're like, all right,
yeah, every once in a while he does step above
you're
it.
You're a little bit above this.
I would say there's more scenes where it's like, two women were filleting me, but I had moral misgivings. I detracted them by wearing a giant green feather in my hand.
He peacocked.
Yeah, that's right. Called peacocking.
That's the term.
There's actually a reality show about this business recently called The Pickup Artist on VH1. I didn't watch any of it.
I watched a couple episodes. His mentor mystery, The Pickup Artist, right?
Yeah, the same guy who taught Neil Strauss The Game. Mm-hmm.
The Obi-Wan.
Now, when
Kenobi
you say
character.
When you say The Game, you mean the preparation and distribution of crack cocaine.
That's exactly what I mean. And in that, you also get women with crack cocaine.
Oh, great.
Good-looking women like Courtney Love.
Also, you're wearing a cowboy hat to Denny's.
Yeah, or metallic
and
platform boots.
The Neil Strauss, the author of this book, after writing the book, has kind of kept with this, and he's created a little...
I don't like.
I
don't like that part.
Why don't you like this part?
When I interviewed him before, the moral of the book is that he met a girl, and he had a hard time meeting girls before, but then he met a girl that he really liked, and he decided to leave all this stuff behind.
That's what it seems. Yeah, like at the end of the book, right?
So, and when I interviewed him, I presume that was sort of the moral of the story.
Okay,
was that. It was great to meet girls when you were a sad nerd, But if you met a girl that you liked, then you didn't have to do this creepy stuff anymore.
Right.
So the fact that he was like pitching reality shows, starring himself doing this and teaching people to do this, I don't like that. That creeps me out. He should go
back
to...
Is that what he was pitching when he was on the show?
Well, he didn't pitch it to me. I don't really have the power to make that happen, right?
No. I was just saying, it. Like, did he say, this is what I'm doing
I only do scripted stuff, so...
Right, of course. I'm sorry.
That's why you're on strike now, right?
But he was pitching. He was doing a lot of Hollywood stuff around town, right? Like, he did, like, some TV specials and stuff like that.
I know that they were trying to turn the game into a movie, but I don't know if that's ever going
to
happen.
He did a lot of Hollywood-y type stuff, yeah, is my point, sure, with okay, this. As it's, and I think he should just go back to ghostwriting Motley Crue autobiographies.
Which is a great autobiography.
I've heard it's great. That's why I'm saying he should go back and do it.
Yeah.
And
but
anyways, Ryan.
Moving on.
And moving on to me.
He's the one that keeps us pithy, guys.
Ryan, you got commissioned by a magazine or a weekly from your hometown?
Yes, I used to write regularly for the College Times, which is a weekly out in Tempe, Arizona. And I've read the book, The Game, because of Jordan, actually, because Jordan told me about it. And I came away with a slightly different taking on it than Jesse. Like, I don't really see it as deception. Like, I went into it thinking, oh, I'm going to learn some cool tricks to help me pick up on girls, and because I've never really approached just girls out of the blue. Like, any girls that I've dated, it's usually like I met through a friend or through like a similar group of people, and so I just thought they were gonna have some cool tricks in there, and that's all I'd get out of it. But
like, what kind of gel to use in your hair?
Yeah,
kind of thing. Sure.
The extra sticky. Joe,
sure.
That's
secret.
It's early.
Hand signal.
Yeah,
drives right. Girls wild.
If you touch your ear at just the right time,
yeah,
right, they drop their pants.
Isn't that one of the guys' things?
That's the gel to use. Dep.
Oh, Dep.
Dep.
You know what?
It took you that long to come up with Dep.
Yeah. I've been using LA Looks this whole time.
Got to use Dep.
Oh, okay.
So, but I was surprised that they seemed to approach pickup from like a place of self-improvement in a way. Like, yes, they use magic to like attract girls, but in a way that's like learning a new skill. Like, hey, don't just be the uninteresting guy that comes up and goes, hey, what do you do? Like, do a magic trick and impress her first and then like... It sounds cheesy.
It seems like there's
a lot of... You're not making it sound better.
Doing a good job.
There's a lot of things in there that, some kind of good, morals that... kind of good pieces of advice in there that maybe...
Like, it's important to rate women on a scale from 1 to 10.
Yes, exactly.
That's something specifically
but like,
in the book.
Like, guys don't do that as it is. I mean... When you're talking to your friend, you might not say, what's her scale 1 to 10? But you're like, huh? How's she look? Is she cute? What does she look like?
Yeah, yeah. Now we're just qualified.
You know what I say to my friends, Ryan? Is she my fiance, who I'm in love with? If the answer's no, I'm not interested.
We all can't be as lucky as you.
That's true.
To have had a girlfriend since high school.
I'm very lucky. we all can't have had a girlfriend in high school.
That's true. Also true.
Anyways, but there are some things in there like, that I just feel like I never got told in my romantic, the romantic advice I never got from, dad or friends. And it's kind of like, hey, work, there's that kind of like work on, concentrate on working on yourself and having a good, solid group of friends and like knowing things and that, that's better than lines and stuff. But, and then it kind of destroys that thesis a little bit by teaching you lines. And
then lines aren't like, hey, baby, you look so good. Like, I could eat a steak off you, line would be. But it's just like they'd rather like start a conversation, like just say something interesting that will start a conversation rather than like your stereotypical pickup line?
I read the book like 2 years ago at this point, I guess. So my memory is vague, but I do remember one of the primary techniques being putting down a girl when you meet her to show that you're
the one you like.
You're the boss and make her insecure so that she'll want your approval and then like you.
Yeah, that is one of the things that they do. And at the conference, Neil actually said that he doesn't really like to do that anymore. But that is something.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay. Sorry.
You got paid by the College Times to take one of these conferences that that the author of this book gives.
And this is called a Martha Stewart Living Conference.
This is called a Martha Stewart Living Conference.
This is called
With
anime.
An Edge.
This is called Anime
With an
Con,
edge.
Right?
Yeah. How to pick up girls at Anime Con.
Cosplay. Just one word.
So they said, we know you like read the book and we know that you're interested in this stuff, so why don't you go to this conference and write a story about it?
Did they say this to you, or are you misrepresenting it to us? Did you say to them, hey, I read this book and there's this conference coming up, why don't I go?
Well, I've talked to them before about the book and about maybe doing something with like Neil Strauss, and it never panned out. And then my editor had found out about the conference. I guess he got like a press release about the conference or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And so that.
Okay.
I'm not misrepresenting myself.
Okay.
Stop trying to call me out, Jesse.
I gotcha. No, I'm just keeping you on the level. I just want to know if you're using any of those tricks on my brain.
Brain tricks.
They don't work on guys.
You did do a magic trick when you came in here.
I did. I came in with a puff of smoke. And
we were all pretty impressed.
I have been thinking just how handsome you look today. I don't know.
As I stumbled out of the elevator, can't even figure it out. So that's what happened. And then, I signed up for this conference and,
now what is the cost of one of these things?
I think early sign up was like,
we're not talking pre-reg here. We're talking regular.
Yeah. I think if
Joe
you
registered.
Signed up early, it was like $1,300.
Okay. Wow. Is this a 3-day conference?
3-day conference. And I think
Friday through Sunday.
There's a
Friday
laminated badge involved, right?
Definitely a laminated badge.
Is there a gift bag?
There was not a gift bag.
Holy moly. You didn't get a bag when you registered with gifts in
it? No.
What's the point of going to a conference? You don't get a bag full of gifts. How are you going to relieve your stress?
Validated parking.
Was there validated
parking?
No, not
valid. But I could walk there because it was at the Roosevelt Hotel and I live in Hollywood.
Oh.
Ooh la la.
Guys. Shit's going pretty
well. Sorry, Captain Hollywood.
So I signed up for the conference, and then it's like $2,300 if you didn't get the early registration.
Wow.
So it's quite expensive, yeah. So I get signed up for it, and then they say, hey, if you sign up for the conference, the Wednesday before is Halloween, you can go to the Bondage Ball. Like that free VIP. Yeah, they're interconnected.
Connected.
Yeah. So,
well, let's start from the beginning.
Bondage ball.
Bondage ball.
Bondage ball.
Double B.
So you dressed for the bondage ball we learned last week as a Boy Scout with a dildo.
Yeah, I didn't know what to wear. I've never been to a bondage ball or anything like that. So,
have you ever been to any other kind of ball? Debutante ball, coming out ball?
Mm-hmm. You know, and this might have been my first ball in general.
Square dance?
Is there a square dance ball?
Well, it's a you know, a kind of ball
thing.
Have you been to a ball before the Army Navy game?
Policeman's ball.
You know what? I had an ex-girlfriend that once went to a Navy ball with a guy.
Okay.
And told me about it. And then I fought him.
You fought him?
No, I just made up that last part. So I go to the website of the promoter, who is named Nighthawk. Pretty cool.
Yes.
Are you sure he's not a modern pagan priest?
He did kind of look very goth, weird, like that. Kind of like a what's the guy from the Goonies, like Sloth?
I've never seen the Goonies.
You've never seen the Goonies?
Yes.
Yes, we've talked about this on the show. You're getting yourself into hot water.
All right, I'll backpedal. The guy was like bald and weird looking. But anyways, so I go to his website.
A guy named Nighthawk is bald and weird looking?
Yeah, you would be surprised.
I was envisioning a tall, I was envisioning Thomas Jane.
I was thinking of a tall Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I was thinking David Hasselhoff, like Knight Rider.
Thinking of Kit from Knight Rider.
When don't you think of Kit from Knight Rider?
Yeah, it's just always going through my head.
It's always just there.
Anytime someone else is talking to me, I'm looking at them, but I'm looking at their face, but I'm imagining little red LEDs lighting up and going back.
And you kind of wish everyone was sassier to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And every time you get in your El Camino, you're like, I wish you were Kit.
I wish you talked
to me right now.
And then your El Camino just says something in Spanish you can't understand.
Damn it.
I keep trying to press the oil slick button, but it just charges up the cigarette lighter.
We just keep seeing like Jesse in his car with like an English-Spanish dictionary. Like, what are you saying? I want to understand.
I can't tell if you're being sassy or not.
Oh, man. Good thing I didn't buy a Caballero.
So I
Fiesta.
Good thing, right? Was that the Chevy equivalent or the Ford?
It's a GMC Ranchero of Caballero, I think.
Okay,
it's an alternate model, I think.
Okay.
So anyway, you're hanging out with Nighthawk. You guys,
I'm hanging with the Nighthawk, and so I get VIP passes to go to this. No, the first.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So
pretty.
Who did you?
Does that mean free bottle service?
So there's another one of my friends who also went to the conference. Mm-hmm. So he was going. So
this is a no girls allowed thing, right?
No. There's plenty of girls at the bondage ball.
What's the girl to guy ratio at the bondage ball?
I would say,
given that your VIP pass to the I don't know how to pick up a girl conference,
right.
gets you in.
This it was about 2-1, I think, girl to guy. Surprisingly, there was
girls for one guy.
Yeah, there was a lot of girls there.
Wow.
And I think most guys are probably kind of weirded out by something like this. There were a lot, and I would say probably half the guys over there seemed to be gay gentlemen. So. Because,
well, as long as they were gay gentlemen.
Quite a few of them came up and
I hate those crass downtown gays.
They kept coming up and grabbing my strap-on.
You can tell a gay gentleman by his velvet pantaloons and frilled shirt.
And he'll introduce himself by saying, "How do you do?"
The show of wildly inappropriate stereotypes, right?
Yes.
I
thought you went to the gay stereotypes ball.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. I missed that ball.
Okay. So it was 2-1, girls against boys.
Yeah. Now, the first thing is, so I go to the website and see what Nighthawk recommends wearing, because I have no idea.
Sure.
And he honestly was pretty much says, like, mix two costumes. Like, throw a strap-on dildo on a vampire costume.
So what would be... So one of them's a vampire costume. What's the other costume? Guy with a plastic erect penis?
Dildo hammer.
No, it was just like... there's no other costume. It was just like, throw a strap-on dildo on anything.
That was something I didn't understand from your original call, the idea of mixing two costumes.
I know. That's what I was trying to say, was it was so absurd.
Can I ask
there's
you
no
a question?
Other...
In the past, has your costume just been where sex toy as outerwear?
And I've never worn that costume, but
what are you dressed as this year, Ryan? Oh, vibrator head. I'm the classic character vibrator head.
Hey, why aren't you wearing a costume? Ah, I have a butt plug.
It'd be great if you just like taped two vibrators to each ear, and that was vibrator head.
Yeah, exactly.
You turn. I can't hear you. The vibrators are on.
To make a buzz.
We'll talk when the batteries run out.
Okay, so you visited the website to discover what kind of clothes you should wear.
Right, and so pretty much what I got from it is just throw a strap-on dildo on anything. And so I already have a Boy Scout costume.
Sure.
So
for cosplay.
Yeah. Why not? So.
This is like shorts and a neckerchief. And,
yeah, I have like, okay. And this is like a costume I've worn previously, and so they're like really short,
like
almost
UPS
like lieutenant
short,
dangle sure. shorts, and then a very tight. It was like my old Boy Scout costume from when I was in
an
Boy
Eagle
Scouts.
Scout.
I never made it to Eagle Scout, but I got close. I really let my parents down on that one though.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody wants an Eagle Scout in the family.
Yeah, are you an Eagle Scout?
Oh, no, but my father was an Eagle Scout in his time. Yeah.
So did you let him down because you didn't
I never did any scouting.
Okay.
I'm a gay.
Oh, of course. I forgot.
My dad worked at American Eagle. He was in charge of graphic tees.
I feel like I believe that. Is that true?
I don't know.
Your dad has done so many jobs.
Honestly, I have no idea what my dad does these days. Maybe he works at American Eagle.
So I throw a strap-on dildo, and I go to this really seedy, like, sex toy shop, like, on Vermont and Santa Monica.
In a seedy Hollywood.
Seedy Hollywood area. And I get, like, a strap-on dildo for $12.
Which is not, you're not going to get it. You're going to get one of those Chinese lead-based paint dildos.
Yeah.
For $12.
And it wasn't like a funky color or anything. It was just
we're talking about low-quality dildonics.
It was very low-quality. And like if I actually had to like use this thing in a strap-on capacity, it would not stay put. I don't think. I had like a really bad.
Oh, it's kind of a tenuous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, maybe you just got the wrong size.
Maybe they only had one size. So. Okay.
Well, I mean, like waistband. Never mind. Go ahead.
They only had one size, but it did seem too small.
It did seem. So I go and so I put it on, and then my friend shows up to my house to walk over to. The Henry Fonda Theater where this bondage ball is. And he
Why
shows
did I
up.
Picture it in being in a high school gymnasium up until this point, like with streamers?
In a, it's in like the conference room of the Marriott or something.
Is it the YMCA?
that would have been much better. But so he shows up and I'm like, I open the door thinking he's going to be wearing a crazy wild costume as well.
Sure.
And I'm like, woo! Look, I got a strap on, and he shows up and he's just wearing like normal go out clothes.
What?
Yeah.
Oh God.
So
you know what he's dressed as? You know what his Halloween costume is? Guy who disappointed his friends.
Exactly.
Spoil sport.
Yeah.
And so immediately I start having misgivings about my costume.
Yeah.
Because,
no. Why wouldn't you?
I think. Wow. Maybe I was really off. Maybe he's right. Nobody's going to be dressed up, and I'm going to be the only one. So, but I figure I've already bought the dildo.
Right.
Yeah.
Why
you're,
not?
You're already planning, apparently, to wear it on the walk to the venue.
And I did. And I did. And I, like, hung it out of my shorts so people, like, the whole time are doing double takes, you know, because it
kind of
looks
like
my
flesh-colored
erect penis is hanging out
sure.
of my pants. But people were laughing at it, loving. This is Hollywood.
Yeah.
This is Hollywood.
Hollywood
weird.
I don't know.
Hollywood. Only in Hollywood, am I right, guys?
You
Only
can be walking
Hollywood.
Around Koreatown with this, but Hollywood, no. It's totally different ballgame.
Koreans hate dildos.
They do. No one for hating their dildos.
We're still doing the inappropriate. We're still doing the inappropriate stereotype.
That's
segment,
right.
Right. Okay.
I think that's why North and South Korea.
Can't get
originally broke
because Kim Jong Il insists that people wear
strap-on dildos,
whereas
exclusively
South Korea would rather focus on developing their technology infrastructure.
Potato, potato.
Yeah.
So we go in, and the bondage ball started at 9, so we figure let's show up about 10:30, right? That's a good time. We show up at 10:30. And there is nobody there yet. There is nothing sadder than the early birds at a bondage ball.
Jeez.
Like, this guy, we walk in and there's...
Just like talking to the bartender, like, so, yeah.
Yep. What else is going on? Like, yeah, it was pretty... I walk in and, like, immediately to my left, there is a obese man in a black singlet. Kind of like...
A wrestling outfit.
Like a wrestling singlet.
Oh, okay.
But more like Andre
like
the Giant style, like singlet
with like a one strap over
yeah,
the shoulder.
Yeah, it was one strap.
And oh, that's awesome.
He was like fat with like big man boobs and hanging out. And then he had like a leather mask on with
okay.
like the zipper.
Oh yeah, sure.
Like the gimp in Pulp Fiction.
Sure.
And he's just like sitting there.
He sounds
like,
fun.
Yeah, he's just sitting in the corner, like, very sad looking.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Because he, like, nobody's there yet, and nobody's there to, like, whip him or anything. So, we start walking around, and,
Did you offer to get him some punch?
I felt like I should go over and talk to him if I hadn't been so scared of
him.
If
he wanted to be your partner in the cakewalk.
So,
now I'm moving to Jordan's picture of it, which has a lot of gingham, red and white check gingham tablecloth,
sure.
sawdust on the
there's
floor.
There's a band playing Froggy Goes A-Courtin'.
Somebody, there's like a quinceanera at some point. And
there's some of those kind of like old-fashioned PA speakers that are like dangle from a wire
sure.
and are kind of white and shaped like a horn. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I know those. Anyway, so but it picked up eventually.
So fast forward. Fast forward. This is it goes, and they start pulling girls up on stage and like tying them up. And like they take off their shirts and then they like tie them up.
Are they doing this kind of tying up where it's like really complicated?
Yeah, it seemed they were like hogtied, but on their knees, but like they were like tied to their ankles and the ankles to their wrists.
Now, you know, it seems like that I was kind of wondering about how this would go, and it seems like there's degrees of bondage. You know, it's like there's the fuzzy handcuffs that girls get during bachelorette parties. And I was kind of thinking, like, oh, this is like, I'm sure that actual bondage people, people who live a bondage lifestyle probably stay away from this. Like, this is the chemical romance to the actual kind of underground punk rock concert,
And that's an interesting point because I noticed when I was there that, like, yeah, most of the people there were just like, oh, it's Halloween, let's go to the bondage ball. And it's kind of like a fun, fuzzy handcuffs type of thing. But then they're like one in every 10 people were the actual bondage people. And you could like, be a creepy old guy in like a leather bikini like bottom. Sure. And so there were those people showing up and they looked out of place. They looked like, oh, I thought this was the bondage ball. And then they're like walking around and they're your parents' age. And it was...
But then it's a bunch of 21-year-olds dressed like Amy Winehouse.
Right, exactly. That was Amy Winehouse was the
most popular costume.
Yeah, sure. Actually, there was somebody there. It was Amy Winehouse, and then somebody was dressed like her boyfriend.
With claw marks across.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I thought that was a good one. So.
Just Amy. Somebody was dressed as Amy Winehouse. Somebody was dressed as celebrity DJ Mark Ronson.
So they pull the girls up on stage, they tie them up, and the goal for these girls is how long they can stay tied up, like on their knees.
That's not very entertaining. Watching people endure something.
Exactly.
Endure.
But that was like on one stage because they have multiple stages.
Oh, okay.
So that was on one stage.
You get tired of watching people tolerate being tied up.
And then there was whipping going on in one corner.
Mm-hmm. Were the people involved in this attractive?
You know what?
Mr. Look down on ranking people on a scale
from
1 to 10.
Would you like me to rank them on a scale of 1 to 10 for you?
I'm asking for the benefit of the bad people who might be listening. I'm the host. That's my responsibility.
I would say about half the women were attractive.
Interesting.
That were like being pulled on stage and stuff. But
Were they being pulled on stage?
Against their will.
They seemed like they wanted to be pulled on stage. Like, one girl was like, she walked up and turned her back to the stage, and then the Dom guy, I guess that would he pulls her up by her neck. He, like, grabbed her. Geez. But, yeah, it was like, it looked like he knew what he was doing, where he didn't hurt her, but it looked very...
Probably
like,
a controlled neck grab.
Yeah.
It's like when you make a ball with your fist and put it on top of someone's head.
And then
to
they
make it
grab
look like,
your wrist
right,
and
make
flop
it look
back
like
and forth, make it look like a hair pull.
On stage.
Yeah.
And then on the main stage, like the show was like a rotating thing of acts. It was like the first act was this guy, this very obese man in a geisha costume.
Mm-hmm.
And the climax was him committing fake Harry Carey. And then, like, his guts were just, like, spaghetti and stuff, which started spilling onto the stage, and then he started throwing it at the audience, which was, like, this weird mix of, like, all these hipsters going, he's not going to start throwing. Oh, he's throwing. And then, like, people running. And then it was, like, people running in, like, elevator shoes. It's, like, goths running.
Sounds pretty erotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I bet at that point you didn't need a strap-on dildo, am I right?
Oh, no.
Your real penis.
My penis
rocketed the dildo out of your pants.
Into the dildo. I left that. I left it open just in case that happened.
That's fine.
And so so then I stayed for a while, and it was fun, I guess. Not too much, like, a lot of whipping. That fat guy that was the fat sad guy in the corner, he eventually got on stage. and was whipped by a couple different ladies. And so I ended up like leaving after a while because I don't know. And I walk over
to... Was there like a bar at this thing?
There's a bar, and I was drinking.
Was there like chips and dips?
No chips.
No finger foods.
Oh, there was a table with a naked woman on it, mm-hmm. and there was food on her. But it seemed like food that you couldn't take because nobody... People would just like go and look at her. Like, whoa, look at all that food on that naked chick. And then walk away. And there was like always photographers.
Was she asleep?
Nope. She was just...
If I was her, I'd probably take a nap.
I would hope so. But it was like the blasting industrial music probably prevented her from doing that.
The soothing sounds of Rammstein didn't...
right. It didn't go... so then I left it and I walked to my friend's place, which is around the corner, and he just got a new job, rolling joints for medicinal marijuana places here in California.
Okay.
Sure.
Joint roller.
And
that'll look good on the resume.
And they gave him...
I guess I folded, t-shirts at Nordstrom's for a summer. I guess that's probably...
We've all had
pretty
a
much
job
the
like
same.
That. Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing. So they gave him like these two huge, like comically big bags of weed.
Okay.
Like a...
Is he maybe gonna audition for the sequel to CB4?
It's literally like CB4 or like bad, like...
He's making a Cheech and Chong documentary?
Yeah, like bad internet video comedy group.
Gotcha.
Would get that big of a bag of weed. And so he's like, we should smoke some. So, and I don't smoke weed hardly ever. And I look down upon it for your younger listeners.
Yeah.
I know you have
young.
And this is why
it's no bondage ball.
I passed out like almost immediately and then woke up the next morning at 8 o'clock and go, oh no, I have to go to work and I don't have my car. So
and
I had to
walk. And also I'm
still in my costume. I have no other clothes. So I had to walk home.
Did you
home.
Take off the dildo before you got high?
Yeah, I did
in
take off.
In case of accidents.
Just in case of accidents, yeah. And so I had to walk home in my Boy Scout uniform with my strap on in my pocket.
Right.
At 8 a.m. with people honking at me, like yelling, doing the walk of shame, huh? I was like, I wish I hooked up last night, but no.
Yeah.
I just passed out at my friend's place.
But I got some bubonic chronic.
Some Maui Wowie.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Bondage. So, bondage ball, you didn't...
Attend the bondage ball again?
You know what?
Are you going next year?
If I get VIP passes again, maybe.
What did the
just
VIP...
Maybe.
Okay, well, this is the one question that I want. What do you get from the VIP passes?
I didn't have to pay to get in.
That's it?
That was it.
It's just a pass.
It wasn't even a laminated pass. And there was another level of VIP.
There was no
because
bottle
there
service.
Were people walking around with VIP passes, but they told me that I did not.
That's a platinum club situation.
That was another level of VIP. That was VVIP.
Who was that? Was that like Diddy?
That was like who?
Diddy?
Diddy. Oh, yeah. It was Diddy. Diddy was there. There was his entourage. I don't know.
Celebrity DJ Mark Ronson? It's on the tables?
I don't know who that is.
He's a celebrity DJ. He produced the Amy Winehouse album.
Okay.
He's like famous for being a celebrity DJ, you know.
Yeah. But
not famous enough. I don't know.
If you went to more parties in the Hamptons, you would know who he was.
Okay.
So let's move on to Style Life Conference.
Okay.
What,
was this the next day?
No, it was Friday. So
okay, so this
Halloween,
Wednesday
was,
night and then Friday more
yeah,
was
I got a good night of sleep.
Was the Martha Stewart conference. So,
right.
So where do you show up? Where do you go to?
The Roosevelt Hotel, which is like a nice old hotel on Hollywood Boulevard. And you sign up and it's just... I imagine it's just like an NPR conference or something. You go in, they like lecture.
So it's mostly older people in ill-fitting clothes.
Except replace those with like awkward white guys.
Okay. Gotcha.
That are in their like early 20s to mid 40s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is the kind of guys that you would expect to go to this thing.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. They're not as... I thought there was going to be like a lot of like really nerdy guys.
Super nerds, yeah.
But it was mostly guys that just look like us.
Okay.
You know? I mean, there was a couple of like really nerdy guys that like stood out, but Other than that, it was just like kind of, you know.
Yeah, your standard. Somewhat. Not too fit, probably, you know, smartish college.
Maybe plays too many video games or reads too many books rather than, like, you know, lifting a weight, but or caring about their appearance.
Oh, wait.
Just the weight.
Owning a weight. I don't lift anything that has weight to it.
Yeah.
Only depth.
And
if there's gonna be lifting, I'd better be doing it underwater. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Or space.
Or space.
Do you do like the water aerobics?
Or space.
Yeah, water aerobics.
That's what my mom does.
Yeah, how's she looking these days?
My mom's looking
pretty tight.
Hot. Nice. I don't mind saying. I'm gonna see her later tonight, guys, and I don't care if my friends ogle her.
Yeah.
I'm kind of proud of her.
Take it as a compliment.
Yeah. She's been really working the water aerobics.
Okay, great. So you go and so it's not you know, you're not putting in an earpiece and going to a bar.
Is there a conference floor? Is there like an area where there are booths and people are selling, you know, metallic platform boots?
No.
Or like your...
Is there some sort of...
It's not that kind of conference.
Body spray experience.
It's not like going to like Comic-Con or something like that. It's just
sexy.
One
Although,
main room.
To be fair, everyone at the conference will probably attend Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Yes, at some point in their life, for sure. It's just like a main like room, like speaking hall, and then like Neil Strauss just started.
It's more like a sales conference where they're like the guys come up and get you pumped,
right? Like a Tony Robbins thing.
Yeah.
So,
what's it like when he comes out? Does the place go apeshit?
Do they use those kind of headset microphones, or do they use the ones that you embed in the hairline of your wig, like in a Broadway show?
Hmm. No, I wish it was just like the lavalier kind that you like pin to your
lapel. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know, he goes up, and it wasn't like, it didn't go like crazy, but he was like much smaller, like than I. He's like what, 4'11"?
He's tiny.
Yeah,
and goofy
I've seen him before. He is in the book. There is there's a time where he goes to a bar and people mistake him for Moby, and that's absolutely true. He just looks like Moby.
Yeah,
yeah, but even less attractive than Moby, I would say.
Yes, frailer, more frail.
Yeah,
and delicate.
Like, I feel like Moby could kick his ass.
Sure.
Yeah, Moby could take him out.
And I don't think of Moby as being like an especially strong guy.
No.
Oh, I do. It's wiry strength.
Have you met Moby?
Yeah, absolutely. I fought him once.
Did you? How did that go?
It went good. I mean, it was a mighty battle.
They have a feud going, right?
Yeah, we've had a feud for a long time.
It all started
when we both used the same sample. It's sort of like the battle between
Hatfields and McCoys.
Hatfields and McCoys. I was going to say Lords of the Underground and Lord Finesse.
Bringing that back, huh?
Yeah, bringing that back from last week. It's a callback, folks.
Jordan
just gave me this look like, jeez.
No more. Please don't talk about hip-hop. Please don't talk about hip-hop.
Lords of the Underground. Child.
So then you like break off into classes.
Okay.
So
discussion groups.
So Neil Strauss got everybody pumped. What was the subject of his discussion?
Kind of like just, guys, I was in your spot. You know, you guys have read the game. I'm really excited that you're all here. You know, I mean, he's a good salesman. He's a really good salesman.
Like you. I was a music and pop culture writer for the New York Times Magazine.
Yeah.
I hung out a lot with Motley Crue.
I already had a really great and cool job.
And yet I couldn't capitalize with women. Now,
I had the best job a nerd can have.
I know what you're saying. Can I be like you? Well, no. But you can get a moderate level of success with women if you just follow my teachings.
If you learn the mind control tricks.
You can be successful in places like San Bernardino, Riverside, Upland.
Fresno, folks. I'm talking about Fresno.
First step, move away from Los Angeles. You won't do well here.
People here are much too beautiful for you. Come on, look at you.
Santa Ana, Costa Mesa.
And people like flew in from all over the place, like Puerto Rico.
How many people are here from Eugene, Oregon? Eugene, Oregon. One, two, three people from Eugene.
There were people from like Canada. Yeah, I was surprised. Like people like traveling thousands of miles just to come to this thing.
Well, apparently they're paying $3,000 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
$2,300, yeah. Yeah. And so then you get to pick like your classes. Like there's principles of magic, esoteric principles, which is like palm reading and tarot cards and stuff like that. I took that. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, did you have this in your repertoire before? Like, do you know a magic trick? Anyway.
No, I don't know a magic. And I didn't take principles of magic. That was like one thing I refused to do. Like, I refuse to do magic tricks.
Tarot cards, sure. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not a dancing monkey.
Right. I'll read your palm.
I'm not going to do something.
I'm not going to make a piece of paper go up in flames.
I'm not going to do something with an actual remarkable and interesting element in it.
No, no, no.
I'm just going to do the bullshit one.
But I feel like I can really get closer to girls.
Oh, yeah? You can learn something
tarot now.
So what was? So did they actually teach you how to work a tarot card, or was it like, here are some lies to tell about tarot
cards?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know, too. Was it like, here's the way to trick someone into thinking you're psychic, or was it, here's some bullshit about
tarot
cards?
No, it's more like,
here's
just enough knowledge to get by to make it to where you actually would. I mean, they tell you the real stuff, like where the lifeline is and the career line and the love line. And then they're like, just kind of go from there.
They make some stuff up.
They're like, girls love this stuff. They'll just believe you.
After you're done, fuck them.
Yeah. Make sure. Don't forget that part.
Don't forget the fuck.
Put the seal on it.
That'll feel good on your penis.
7.5 and up only, please.
So they suggest carrying around a deck of tarot cards with you? Is that
And that was the guy who taught it, named Gypsy.
Oh, great.
That's something I should say.
Did you have to make up a name for yourself and write it on your name tag?
Are they all
conference?
No, no, no.
Are they all names of characters from musicals?
You're not like, you know, just dartboard or whatever.
So you're listening to them. They all have handles. Like, they don't go by their real name. Like, Neil Strauss's name is Style. Like, obviously, Mystery. His real name isn't Mystery. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And then this guy's like Gypsy, Evolve, Hype.
iLife.
Hype is about is shorter than Strauss. He was like, he's just this little obnoxious guy.
What I like about this is that these are from reading the book, that all this came out of internet, like Usenet message boards or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And so what I like is when they enter the real world, they decided that their AOL screen name, they should just stick with that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what it is. There was a guy named Bravo who taught magic. Of course, Bravo.
There was a guy named Sox Fan 1979.
Overcoming Approach Anxiety. That was another one of the classes.
Okay. So which ones did you take?
Yeah, what did you take?
I took tarot cards.
I took esoteric principles. Yeah. That was what Gypsy said. Yeah, he's like, just carry around the tarot cards in your back pocket.
Right.
And girls will see them and just ask you.
Okay.
For a reading.
I can't fit tarot cards. I already have my Zune back there.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe in your other pocket.
Yeah.
Does the Zune take up two pockets? I know they're pretty big.
It's a pretty big Zune. Well, the Zune pocket, one wallet.
It's like
pocket.
The Zune boombox.
Yeah.
So I took Overcoming Approach Anxiety.
Okay. Do you think you have approach anxiety? Is that something that you...
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time just approaching girls.
Yeah,
I mean,
anybody would have approach anxiety.
I have broach anxiety.
You get uncomfortable in the presence of rubies.
Sure.
What was some of the other ones? Like, they had like organizing your life.
No, that's good.
It was stuff like more like just how to make your life better. I took that. I was just curious, like how that fit into like pickup.
And it turns out you're going to have so many fucking dates.
That's right. You got so much fucking to do. You got to schedule that shit.
Yeah.
You still got to work. Am I right?
Right. You still got it. What were some of the other ones? Routine stacking? Which is...
Routine stacking.
Because they break it down into
like... Jenga, right?
Yeah, what they do, they break up approach in like different levels.
Excuse me, Jordan. Jenga is anything but routine.
No, but it is just like Jenga. Because you can... you have your pit, you have your opening line. You have your DHV, which is demonstrating higher value. So your opening line would be like something like, Hey guys, just curious, do you floss before or after you brush your teeth? And that's just like to get girls talking.
Sure.
And then you act like you're about to leave. That's important. Like you have a time constraint. And then you show demonstrating higher value, which is like reading their palm, showing them that, like, you're worth sticking around. So, like, reading their palm or telling them a funny story or...
The time constraint is so they don't feel like they're going to get stuck with you, as
exactly.
I recall.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's a valuable piece of information when you're out talking to...
Yeah, they want to just, like, when somebody approaches you, when you think about if you're out at a bar, your first thing is, like, how long is this person going to stay?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't want to get, yeah. So as long as you say, hey, I just got to get back to my friends real fast, they're more likely to listen to you and not immediately shut down.
Anyways.
What was the single best thing you you saw or learned at this thing? Like, what was the most exciting part of this 3-day conference on picking up girls that you attended?
I gotta say that the two most exciting things was Mystery Spoke.
Okay.
And he
played some unaired clips from his TV show. It was amazing.
A sneak peek of season 2.
I gotta say, like, he's
some of the boners.
He's so cheesy in his, like, dress with the big hats and the scarves and everything. But he exudes, like, the most charisma of anybody that I've ever met. Like, he's actually he was like a riveting speaker. Like, even as I went into this conference, kind of like, I don't know about all this stuff. Well, I'm not really involved in it. I'm just here as a journalist.
Yeah.
Well, during his speech, I was like, yeah, this can happen. And I'm turned. What do I need to do? Sign me up.
So this is all about turning you.
Yeah, this was all about turning me. And then the other thing was, the other speaker was Ross Jeffries.
Oh, yeah. That's the mind control man.
That's the mind control
guy. Yeah, that's the
guy
who uses kind of light hypnosis.
Yeah, this was the guy...
It's like, wants you to, like, repeat a certain word and have cue phrases.
This is the guy that...
raise your hand at a certain point.
Tom Cruise's character in Magnolia is based upon, right?
That's the rumor, yeah. This is the guy who started the entire seduction community. You know, he started teaching his classes.
The
which
community.
Like, right.
They got a community center with a pool for lap swim.
I think they actually are, like, setting up a Style Life library, which is where you can go and, like, read all
next to the Christian Science reading room.
All the e-books that they put out.
Oh, good.
And they print them out, so I guess they're no longer e-books. He spoke, and...
Now they're computer printouts.
Yeah, right. He spoke, and he was really interesting because they brought a bunch of random girls in that he'd never met, and he was able to kind of, like, do a cold reading on them without them even saying anything. He would just be like, oh, you do, and they'd be like, oh, how'd you know that I do that? Maybe it was, like, a total act, and he'd known them before, but it seemed real.
Okay.
It was interesting. He's... I'll show.
Now, was this 3 days just spent in the hotel lobby, or do you go out in the field? I get the impression in these things that you go out in the field.
You do go out in the field.
Okay.
You do go out in
now,
the field.
Now, in the field, you were talking about real
to
life.
To Saddle Ranch.
Oh, okay. Saddle Ranch, yeah.
Which is the
that's the bar that's in MTV reality shows.
Yeah.
So this is where Nighthawk enters the picture again. Okay. Nighthawk got us on, like, guest list to a bunch of different clubs.
Okay.
And then the coaches were out at these clubs, and you could kind of, like, they would, like, give you, like, a reading on how you did. So,
right.
So they would, like, stand, like, surprisingly close. And that's what's weird is you kind of think, this girl is totally going to know.
So you're at, you know...
Yeah, I went to CineSpace.
CineSpace.
Which, for those non-Hollywood people, is kind of like a hip, hip-hop.
It's sort of like the kind of place you might find celebrity DJ Mark Ronson.
I actually saw Beck there once.
Just keep bringing it back.
CineSpace. Harmar Superstar.
If you just keep going back to it, that's when it gets good. Mm-hmm. That's what makes humor, just keep going back to it.
Humor 101 with Jesse Thorne.
Uh-huh.
Just keep going back to it.
Hey, come on. You don't know anything about humor. Who are you? Celebrity DJ Mark Ronson.
I can hear the podcasters listening or laughing now. So
you're at CineSpace. The people stand too close to you.
And then the coaches stand there and will give you, like, a reading. So I went up and did it. You know, like, I approached
a girl.
And, and they, like, kind of, like, they...
Right, now, hold on. 1 to 10. 1 to 10 for this girl.
Let's talk boobies.
She was a HB8. HB means hot babe. They put that in front of it.
Oh.
HB8. Just so you don't.
Just. I love HB8.
Again, yeah, again, this is all from the message board, so they all have those weird little abbreviations for
you
things.
You know what I have to say? HB8, LOL10.
What was RL?
Control-Alt-Delete.
dot Open org. Apple Reset.
yeah, so... It was weird. I don't know. I don't know what you guys want to know, but I mean, I go up and
did it work?
So you see HB8. You're there with
coincidentally
the
that's also
I
was there
name.
With Evolve.
Evolve. Okay, so you and Evolve are in CineSpace,
right? And Evolve is a very good looking dude, by the way. So
oh really? Okay.
Girls are constantly just coming up to him without even doing much, but. He's like shooing them away to coach these people.
Okay.
So he stands like kind of like, so I walk up to a girl and then he kind of walks up behind so he can listen. Mm-hmm. And when I would look to him, he would give me like one, two or three, like he, one went like, that's your opener. Like stay with the opener. Mm-hmm. Two is like move to DHV. Hmm. Three is like take it to the next level, which is like building comfort.
That's just whip.
I did not get to three.
Two and a half.
I got to two.
Okay.
So
you go up to her. What's your opening line?
My opening line was I was just talking with my friends and we can't remember. Did My Little Pony have superpowers?
Okay. Is that an original or
girl? No. That's like
that's from the textbook.
That's from the textbook. Yeah. Okay.
No, I mean I think that's a good strategy. If there's
it's like a nostalgia.
Girls love it's talking about the 80s.
Yeah, it's like a nostalgia type of thing.
What would have been a good one? Speaking of callbacks, you could ask, "Did My Little Pony just find out she's a real princess?"
Sure. Also, remember when Chris Fairbanks was on the show?
Do you have like a list of callbacks somewhere, Jesse, that you like read every once in a while just to prep up for these?
You know what the cruel irony is? Nobody listens to this show more than once. Mm. Primarily because of the callback. Anyway, keep going.
It's going to be the callback show. I go up and I say that. Now, this girl, since she goes, no, I've never heard of My Little Pony.
I've never heard of My Little Pony. You just sound like a faggot.
This guy was like 21 years old. Did you realize like there's a stark like cutoff on Saturday
right?
morning cartoons or whatever?
You're too old. She's never heard of My Little Pony.
Wow. So I immediately
you're like, okay, what about Zorks? Did they have superpowers? You're just going through your
I have tarot race. Cards. I have tarot cards. What?
And so, but my response to it was it's like, oh, it's kind of like it was kind of like what little girls were into before Dora the Explorer. That's what.
Boom! You're
that's
gonna
what I
going
came up
strong.
With. That's what I came up with off the dog.
And then you were like, "Will you wear my fraternity pin?"
And but actually,
I
like,
got you a promise ring.
She kind of laughed, and so I'm like,
"Okay,
all right, I'm in." You know, so I was like, "Okay," and I start to walk away, and then I go, "Hey, wait a minute! I just learned how to palm read."
Okay.
Can I see your hand? And she shows me her hand, and I start.
She's like, I've never heard of hands.
Hands? I'll give you my foot. So I start, and I look at her palm, and like my mind goes blank. Like I didn't remember what any of the lines were. Like and it was like
didn't remember what you learned in esoteric principles.
I didn't. And the other thing,
not
was,
even the basic principles.
Not even the. I remembered like where the lifeline was. And the other thing that you know, I didn't take into account is it was like dark in there. And so even if I did remember stuff, like I could barely see her palm.
It would be awesome if part of esoteric principles was reminding you always to wear a miner's headlamp.
OK,
chase his dog.
That would be peacocking.
Yeah.
So I just kind of bailed on it when I couldn't.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, oh, I can't really see your hand. It's nice meeting you.
Well, I'll see you around.
Nice meeting you.
And then so.
So was that the only.
And that's when you gave her the promise ring?
That's when I gave her the promise ring. No. I approached other girls, but not with like a coach standing right there.
Right.
And he like kind of told me, he was just like, oh, you didn't have like you. He was like good, like recovering on My Little Pony with Dora the Explorer because that made her laugh. But then like your whole like DHV was really awkward. And like when I couldn't see your hand, I immediately held it like really close to my face to try to see it. And that I think that like freaked her out because I suddenly was like grabbing her hand and stuff.
Right.
And are you going to do this in the future?
She thought that maybe you were going to put her hand in your mouth.
Yeah.
I wanted to eat her hand.
You didn't want to eat it. You just want to see what it's like in your mouth, like a puppy that's teething.
Just swish it around a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So did anything else go any better than that? Or was that?
You know what? I did end up coming away with a phone number.
Okay.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
Have you since called to that phone number? I mean, not to get too personal.
I did call it and she hasn't called me back. So
fair enough.
I don't know if that really worked out that well.
Well,
but
are you going to use these principles in the future?
You know what? I think, I don't think I'll use them textbook-wise, but I think that to try to be a more social person, I think it's good. Like, when I go out to bars, like, before I would just stand there and not talk to anybody, but, like, I'll try to come up with, not necessarily My Little Pony, but, like, come up with my own, like, topics to go and talk to people about, you know?
I'd focus on Dora.
Yeah.
It's a more broadly understood reference.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know anything about Dora the Explorer though.
She speaks Spanish sometimes, I think.
Yeah, Spanglish.
Spanglish.
I'm sure.
Because she's an explorer.
Oh, you know, just talk about the movie Spanglish.
Yeah. Talk about
it is
broadly understood references.
Spanglish.
Mm-hmm.
That he really has range. You wouldn't expect
Adam Sandler.
Him.
Yeah,
Adam Sandler.
He's not
to have
just
that
a
kind
goofy
of range.
Guy. He has a lot of heart.
He has. He can show James L. Brooks what's up.
By acting in his film.
Well, Ryan, your internet video. How are your internet video projects moving forward? I know you've got a couple things in the hopper. Is there anything people can see?
Yeah, yeah. I just did. I've been doing internet videos with Neil Pollack and his kid. We have
the
one
ones that Defamer hates. Is it Defamer? Gawker. Gawker hates. Somebody's picking on Neil Pollack.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was in. I don't know. It got linked on a lot of blogs and stuff. Yeah, it was his kid explaining the writer's strike, and then it's just he has all these crazy explanations how the superheroes are joining the writer's strike and stuff. So I don't know. It's got a lot of hits so far. So things are going pretty well.
That's all you can hope for. A lot of hits.
Video industry.
A lot of hits.
And the internet video.
A lot of money.
Ryan, thanks for taking the time to come and explain what a bondage ball is and whatnot.
Thanks for having me, guys.
When you write this article about the Style Life conference, is there a place people can see it other than picking it up at Arizona coffee shops?
ecollegetimes.com.
ecollegetimes.com.
When it comes up, will you send me the link and then I'll put it up on the message board post about this show?
Sure. And you can go, it'll go to my website at mpempire.com.
mpempire.com.
You can check out a hot interview with me on that mpempire.com.
You can.
A couple years old now, maybe.
It is a couple years old now. But it's ever.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah, I should update it.
Yeah, you should.
Should talk about how you get married now and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably
changed.
What people want to hear about that. You know, they're like, you know, a lot of people type into the internet Google search. They're like, are any public broadcasters getting married soon? If you're looking for hits, that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ryan, thanks, dude.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jordan, this segment is your brainchild, and I think it is an amazing brainchild.
Thank you. Thank you. I have high hopes for this. I think this is going to carry us into the new millennium.
This is going to be a good opportunity for me to watch today's special.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the...
Okay.
You remember either of those things?
I remember Voyage of the Mimi.
Today's special was one where a black lady in a jumpsuit and... puppet with a big mustache.
What do you mean a one?
Lived
what are you
in
talking about?
One of these TV shows.
Okay.
Where they lived in a department store And I remember that the puppet with the mustache loved crazy, like seriously crazy sandwiches.
Yeah.
I'm talking about jelly beans and sauerkraut and
Jeez.
Ham.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was his thing. He loved crazy sandwiches. I'm going to guess that one doesn't hold up.
I beg to differ. Sounds like whatever it is, that's what we call an evergreen.
But I recently found out that the Wreck of the Mimi, or the Voyage of the Mimi, or whatever it was called, mm-hmm. That had Ben Affleck in it.
Oh,
somebody
really?
Was like, oh, you know, that had Ben Affleck in it. And I was like, what? And then I looked on the internet, and it totally did have Ben Affleck.
Sure
All
enough.
I remembered was that the deaf lady taught them how to collect water by...
putting up a tarp.
Yeah, putting up a tarp and getting the condensation from the tarp.
Anyways, this segment is called Does It Hold Up?, in which Jesse and I revisit things we liked as younger men, and we see if they are still appealing by our current standards.
The first item that we were discussing, whether it would hold up for you, Jordan, was an old favorite that your mom used to cook for you.
Sure.
It's called a country fried or chicken fried steak. You
yes.
should explain what this is for people who've never been to a diner.
Yeah, yeah. My mom made this a lot. She's from the South and has a lot of kind of Southern recipes like this that she fixed a lot. It's a cube steak, which is, you know, it's not a nice cut of meat. It's like a hamburger kind of.
Yeah.
And it is battered. It is, you know, dipped in flour and deep fried and usually served with gravy.
Yeah. So this is a chicken fried steak. Now, did you make yourself a chicken fried steak?
I did not. I went to...
You do have a fry daddy.
I do not have a fry daddy.
You used to have a fry daddy.
I used to. That was a housemate's fry daddy.
Oh, I thought it was your fry daddy.
It was like the communal fry daddy.
You did a lot of frying in that fry daddy.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You fried some chicken wings.
Absolutely.
Something else that you'd fry?
Yeah.
French fries?
Sure.
Anyway,
all things.
I didn't want to make this a Fry Daddy segment.
No,
obviously,
no
Fry Daddy's
to.
Hold up.
No reason to. I went to Norm's last night and had it.
What's Norm's?
Norm's is kind of like it's an all-night, retro-ish, but not really, you know, kind of like, you know, Denny's Point Five.
Right.
And, you drunks go there.
Sure.
They're all over L.A. I thought that would be a good place to have chicken fried steak. I ordered it. It came with a scoop of mashed potatoes. Clearly, it had been made with an ice cream scoop. I liked that.
Yeah.
And carrots, which I also liked.
Mm-hmm.
And and the chicken fried steak came. I said, light on the gravy. I'd hate to see what heavy on the gravy was. I'll tell you, because this thing had
a lot
of gravy on it.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was really tasty. It was really good. And I think that the gravying up of the chicken fried steak is, you know, primarily to kind of hide what a bad cut of meat it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I kind of liked the chewiness, the toughness. I always remember liking that about my mom's, like the kind of, you know, you felt like you had to work a little bit to bite into it.
Sure.
It's a tough, sinewy piece of meat.
Yeah.
And and the Norm's was real. It was real peppery.
Mm-hmm.
The gravy, although there was too much of it, was pretty good. I always remember liked having it with a little ketchup, a little gravy, a little ketchup. It's kind of gross, but
that's gross.
It was still delish.
That held up.
Chicken fried steak holds up.
So it wasn't just foods that you were testing whether they held up.
No, all things.
Yeah.
The second thing was I watched the movie The Jerk last week.
This is a movie starring Steve Martin.
1977 movie with Steve Martin.
This was his film debut. This is what he did when he to capitalize on his stand-up fame.
Yeah, Carl Reiner directed, and you know what? It was really funny. It's actually a funny movie. And you know, it's basically just Steve Martin plays a dumb guy who does things. Like
right.
That's the premise of the movie.
Very dumb.
He's really dumb, and he does various things.
There's a series of vignettes.
Sure, absolutely. It's this dumb guy in various situations.
He's dumb enough not to know what race he is.
Sure, right. And that part of it wasn't as funny to me as it was when I was a kid.
No, you were more racist then.
Yeah, I was a little more racist. But yeah, and it, you know, it's the first act is definitely the funniest. But yeah, it's not as desperate as those dumb guy movies tend to be, or at least the modern dumb guy movies, you know, made by your Adam Sandlers, your Rob Schneiders, and now kind of your Dane Cooks are making. Well, I guess he hasn't made a dumb guy movie, but he has made a goofy guy movie.
Well, he's dumb.
He is dumb.
But yeah, and those always seem kind of desperate. You know, they always seem a little desperate, a little pandery. And I don't know, maybe it was back then. Like maybe when it came out, there was a different standard for what a dumb movie was because movies were less dumb. I don't know. I don't know when this isn't. You know, when this was in theaters, how dumb things were relative to this. But this seemed real sweet.
You're talking about
dumb.
Smarter stuff. You're Smokey and the Bandits.
Sure, absolutely. Your Cannonball Runs.
Yeah, absolutely.
movies about millionaires racing cars.
So the jerk holds up.
Yeah, it holds up. There's a great part in the beginning where he decides to leave home to seek his fortune. And he just kind of stands outside his house, you know, with a suitcase and his thumb out. And then a car pulls up, and he runs up to it and yells in the guy's face, "I'm hitchhiking!" Like, yeah, clearly, you're hitchhiking.
Before we get to the third thing that you were testing, whether it hung up, we got so many great calls this week, and we're going to run relatively few of them because it's such a long show. But here's one caller that called in to talk about something that held up.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, it is Chad from Visalia, California. And I'm calling to tell you about a show from my childhood that not only holds up, but I actually think is way better than I even remember it. And that is the Nickelodeon series, Pete and Pete.
There you go, Pete and Pete. I never had Nickelodeon as a kid. The only show I remember watching is Danger Mouse. I don't know if that holds up, but aren't you in love with Pete and Pete?
Yeah, I really like Pete and Pete. I agree with this guy wholeheartedly, and I did. I got the DVDs of it recently. It's this show that was on Nickelodeon. It's about two brothers that are named Pete, and it's real like surreal. They just kind of are they just kind of live in a suburban every town, and you know, it's kind of about just the life drama that they have is amplified to this kind of mythic proportion, like, you know, the cranky neighbor who doesn't want you to walk on their lawn is some sort of supervillain, and you know, they're kind of, their childhood games take on this kind of, you know, epic, you know, everything's real epic, like, you know, he tries to defy his mom by saying how long he could stay up, and yeah, and it's actually really funny. It's filmed kind of Wes Anderson-y. It's real precious. There's a lot of, like, you know, little details that they focus on. Steve Buscemi plays one of the characters' dads.
It seems like this has a similar role in your life to Pee Wee's Playhouse in mine.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Although it wasn't that important to me. And one of the things that I like about it, I think, is worth mentioning versus the kids' shows of today that, you know, show kids in situations, is that the kids are not cool. They're dressed like actual kids. Their clothes are a little too big. Like, they're clearly in hand-me-downs. Like, you know, the kids aren't falling in love at age 10. They're not sassy. Like, you know, it seems that, you know, they're not – yeah, it's not – you know, it doesn't seem – I don't know. It doesn't seem unreal. Like, even though their situations are so fantastic, it seems to be a way better representation of childhood than, you know the sweet life of Zach and Cody, let's say.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is. I mean, you know, and it feels, and it's real sweet. It's real sweet too.
Speaking of kids, one of the things we've been talking about, things that we experienced as kids, but the premise is things that we experienced as a younger person. So it's not all kids stuff.
Sure.
Your final example is something that you may have experienced as a teen.
Sure. Late teens, and this is the hand job, the act of outer course known as the hand job. And I know that this kind of has a stigma as being kind of the sandlot baseball of the sex act. It's, you know, it's scrappy, it's a little disorganized. I feel like if an old man was watching a hand job, he'd just kind of smile and, you know, shake his head and maybe say, "Kids today, huh?" Or, you know, If only they knew.
Yeah.
If only they knew, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, it seems like, you know, it's not really something people high-five about. But I will say this. I mean, there is a certain craft to the hand job. Now, I realize that saying that one hand job is better than another one is kind of like saying that one of the Resident Evil movies was better than the other ones. There's not a huge difference, but, you know.
But
to the connoisseur, you can see the subtle differences. And, you know, I think that something that people, an advantage to the hand job that you don't get with other methods of outer course is
like your F in the AP or
sure your F in the AP your foot jobs is, you know, a kind of it has the opportunity to kind of have a kind of intimacy with your partner. You can do it. You can do it kind of close. You can do it in kind of an embrace. You can, you know, look into their eyes. You can kiss. If it's a woman, you can, you know, fondle her bosom. It's, you know, so there is, you know, while the actual sensation of it might be not preferable, I think that there are advantages to it. And it is a, you know, a valid sex act and an enjoyable one. Would so say, let's say, I'm going to say...
Would you say has a homey charm?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a kind of, you know, scrappy, rugged, bad news bears kind of charm to it.
Sure.
Pie cooling on a windowsill.
Mm-hmm.
Here, kids.
Home chemistry kit.
It's getting dark. Yeah, so I'm going to say a hand job holds up.
Well, I think this is undoubtedly a discussion. Hopefully not the hand job part too much.
Yeah.
But this discussion of what holds up and what doesn't is something that will most certainly be continuing on our message board.
Jesse, do you have hold up things that you're going to read? I mean, you said...
Pee-wee's Playhouse is my big one right now.
Don't you constantly revisit that weekly?
I revisit that pretty regularly. For a while, I had the full Pee-wee's Playhouse video collection.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. I watched them all. I used to watch Pee-wee's Playhouse with... My folks were divorced, so and it was 50-50, except that I always spent Friday nights at my mom's house,
mm-hmm.
which meant that Saturday mornings I was always at my mom's house, and we would watch Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And in direct contrast, I think we've talked about on the show how it was my mom's favorite thing to do with me, and your mom forbade you to do it because she thought it was too weird.
Yes, too weird.
So anyway, very important to me. And so I took the opportunity to share it with my younger brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And now both of my younger brothers, it's one of their favorite things. I mean, obviously, the elder of my younger brothers, who you've heard on the show before if you're a regular listener, he's 18 now. So it's you know, he's past that age. But my other younger brother's 12, still loves P.W. Herman. A wonderful thing. We'll bring this back and I'll revisit a couple more things, huh?
Let's do it.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. We'll be back in just a second. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
With us is Jim Rayal, the master of Would You Rather. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Jesse.
How's Santa Cruz treating you?
Oh, it's lovely. Beautiful weather and lots of college-age boys and girls, and things are good.
Sure, you'll take what you can get.
I like the part about the girls.
Yeah.
Tell me more about the girls.
Joining us to play Would You Rather is Brian. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How's everybody else doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Absolutely. We're so happy to have you.
Yeah, good to be playing Would You Rather again. I feel like it's been too long.
It's been too long since we played Would You Rather. Well, for anybody that hasn't listened to the show since the last time we has only listened to the show since the last time we...
After the time.
Anyone who's unfamiliar with Would You Rather, here's how it works. Jim Rayal is the master of Would You Rather. He's going to lay out a choice for us. Would we rather this or that? Now, if we have questions about the choice, since Jim is the master of Would You Rather, he'll be able to clarify any issues that may come up.
Mm-hmm.
Then each of the three of us will make our selection. We'll decide on which we would rather have, this or that. Once that's done, Jim will tell us which was the correct answer. Being as that he is the master of Would You Rather, he knows. Jim, why don't you take it away and give us this Would You Rather?
Okay, guys, let me just dust off the Would You Rather arena here.
Did we say we have a listener?
Yeah, and we've got a listener on the line. I introduced Brian.
Okay, nice, yeah. Spaced.
Okay, here we go. Would you rather be a great and celebrated novelist or be friends with Batman?
Oh, wow. Holy moly. Okay, can I start off with a question, a clarification question, Jim? Mm-hmm. When you say friends with Batman, would we be friends with Batman only in a superhero context, or would we be friends with Batman and Bruce Wayne?
Yeah, you really wouldn't be you wouldn't be buds if you didn't know about his alter ego. So you're friends with Batman and you know about Bruce Wayne, and you're buddies with Bruce Wayne too, because it's the same guy.
So we can go to like Bruce Wayne parties at Wayne Manor.
Yeah, he would invite you because you're buds.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
absolutely. Go for it, Brian.
And hopefully I'm not cutting off Jordan's question, but what era of Batman are you friends with? Because
that's a good question. Modern era.
Oh, okay.
So we're talking
nothing with the dog. None of that era.
No, like Bat Dog, Bat Girl.
Let's just say that we're in 2007, present day.
So this Batman that we're friends with is the Christian Bale Batman Begins Batman.
Well, since he's the latest Batman, why don't we go ahead and give that a yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not Michael Keaton Batman, because that might be more fun.
No. It would be, but no.
And Michael Keaton Batman has sort of a wry sense of humor.
Sure.
Do we get to also be friends with Alfred?
Oh yeah. Well, I'm sure that you're going to see Alfred, you know, on a whatever kind of basis, you know, you visit the manor. So, I'd say so.
When you say celebrated novelist, what kind of novelist would we be? Like a popular novelist, like a James Patterson, or like a literary novelist, like a Philip Roth?
More like a literary novelist, but that's really up to you.
Oh, okay. So we could be... Oh, go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to ask if we're suffering from a lot of internal demons. You know, are we like a Hemingway kind of writer?
Well, not unless you really want to be, but it's pretty much just you. You know, you're not a crippled drunk or something like that, unless that's what you want to be. But no, it's just you, and you're a fantastic writer, and people appreciate you.
Are we like financially sick? Can we be financially successful as a novelist? In addition,
I mean, you're not, you know, stinking rich. But yeah, you're well off. You know, you've done well for yourself.
Maybe you've optioned some of your novels as movies.
Could have happened, definitely. Kids will probably read your books in high school.
Okay.
Or college.
That's good. That's a pretty good setup. Man, yeah. This is a terrifying choice. I really don't. Okay, here's an important question, Jim. If you're friends with Batman, does that make you a target for the Penguin?
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing that happens to acquaintances of superheroes is that they're always getting kidnapped, and the hero has to decide between saving them or something else.
If you have a high-profile friendship like that, that's something that you're going to have to roll the dice on.
And we couldn't tell anybody that we were friends with Batman.
Another one.
Well, you can certainly tell, you know, you can tell people, but I don't think Batman would want to be friends with you anymore, sharing his secret.
Yeah, maybe so friends with millionaire playboy Bruce Wayne. I mean, that's something.
That's still pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah. Well, do we get to help Batman on his crime-fighting side, or are we just, like, hangout friends?
No, he's not looking to you for that. He's like, hey, if you want to hang out on Saturday, we can, you know, play the Nintendo Wii together, something like that.
Brian, what I'm wondering from you is, what is the scenario that you're imagining where you're helping out Batman? Like, what is the thing that that Brian can do? I mean, you're a puppeteer. Are you imagining that you would do Batman's puppeteering for him?
Well, presumably, he does face off against villains like the Toy Master. So that might be applicable.
Oh, if he was fighting the Toy Master.
But my question was, angling toward was, if I asked Batman, would he give me a utility belt?
Oh.
Yeah, do you get to play with Batman gadgets? I guess that's
what
important.
I'm asking, yeah.
Let's just say we're thinking about going out with somebody. Could we type their name into the Bat computer?
Yeah. That spotlight show that person's name instead of the Bat signal.
Oh, that'd be romantic.
That's very romantic.
I think that's something, you know, more reserved for immediate family or, you know, girlfriends of Batman.
Your,
I
mean, Vicky
that's,
Vales. That's,
yeah.
I mean, you're definitely going to see some gadgets. Don't get me wrong about that.
You will get to fire a smoke bomb.
He's not just going to be, you know, passing out things to you, you know, left and right.
Would he teach us Batman stuff? Like, if I asked him to teach me how to use the Batarang, would he teach me how to use it? Or is
he probably
that...
would. He'd probably take you out to a field somewhere.
would
the
he bat field.
Loan you the keys to the Batmobile?
I think definitely not.
Yeah, I can't imagine him loaning out the Batmobile.
The con.
But would he pick you up at the airport in the Batmobile?
Help you move?
He'd pick you up in his regular Bruce Wayne car.
Would he help you move? What if he brought
with his bat van?
The Tim Burton Batman Batmobile to help you move, and like the top goes back. Then you just like put a chair in there.
Just hit the button, and then you just fall off with your stuff, and he keeps going.
Yeah. Boy, do you guys have any preliminary feelings about this?
I do. I don't know. I decided pretty quick.
Really?
Yeah.
Which way did you decide? Can I ask which way
sure.
you decided?
Yeah, I mean, if we're ready to do that now, I'm going to say celebrated novelist.
Okay.
And here are the reasons. We've all seen, and it seems like something that Batman is constantly having problems with is relationships. I mean, particularly romantic relationships we see him having problems with, you know, balancing crime fighting and... you know, being a normal guy.
You wouldn't be a good friend?
Yeah, I'm saying, I mean, it would be cool to be his friend, but I mean, I don't need any more fair weather friends, you know? Like, at this point in my life, like, I'm busy. Like, I'm a busy guy. I have a lot to do.
You and, work like, on an extreme sports channel.
Absolutely. It's very demanding. And, when can Batman get together? Like, you got to run Wayne Industries in the daytime. You got to fight crime at night. Like, how often are we hanging out? Like,
you meet him on a rooftop every, you know, like 2 a.m.
Yeah,
for coffee.
Twice a month. Yeah. What do we do? He's probably too tired to hang out after he's.
When you do get together, his bat signal goes off in the sky, and he leaves you there, and you have to pay the fucking bill.
Yeah, I mean, and like when we're hanging out,
and you're
he's
at
just
a nice
like,
restaurant. He doesn't.
He's just like
he
acting all
it.
Tired, and it's like, come on, man, we don't have to hang out. You should just go home and go to bed. He's like, no, I wanna hang out. I wanna hang out. And you're like, really? All right, and then you just feel bad about it, you know.
What are you thinking right now, Brian?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the novelist thing is tempting because I'm kind of actually in real life trying to be that. So I guess but because I'm already trying to be that, and the Batman is different.
Oh, so you think you can just you're pretty confident you're going to become a celebrated novelist on your own? So why waste a would you rather?
I mean, as you're calling, I'm working on a book right now that is actually going to be out and stuff, but. So I don't know.
Okay.
Will it be celebrated?
Gosh, I just hope I get a royalty. That's really my main goal. But I don't know. I'm still. It's a tough one.
Here's how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. I'm ambivalent about novels.
Yeah, you don't much care for them.
Yeah, like almost all men in the United States don't really read a lot of fiction. Mostly just read books about war. No, I don't really mostly read books about war, but I don't really read a lot of fiction. I mean, more than most guys, I guess, just because I have a radio show and I have fiction authors on the show sometimes and I read their books. Sure, I read Chris Elliott's novels, you know, but I don't know if the lifestyle of a celebrated novelist is for me. Like, I almost just said I don't want a job where I just sit around in my house all day with nobody there and work. But that's what I have chosen for myself, isn't it?
Man, I've been loners, right? I mean, the superhero and the novelist are both sitting alone a lot waiting for things to happen, right?
I'm inclined to go with friends with Batman because I think Batman is the kind of friend who would always be there for you no matter what. Like, even if he might not be there for you for the little stuff, like having a cappuccino because the bat signal might go off and he has to go fight crime. But I think when it came down to it, like if your landlord was fucking with you, Batman would take care of it. You know what I mean? And
if you're being raped,
I think it's impossible. Exactly, it's impossible to overlook the significance of being friends with millionaire playboy Bruce Wayne. I think he is the most prominent socialite in all of Gotham City.
He's very mysterious,
and
too.
And so if you're the guy who's plugged in with Bruce Wayne. You're plugged in with everything. You can go to anywhere, any party you want. You can get on any guest list. You can meet anybody you want because you can just be like, hey, Bruce, can you invite hey, Bruce, can you invite Prince to the party?
Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo from You Can Count on Me. Anybody you want to meet, Batman can just invite them to the party as Bruce Wayne, and I think they'll come because he'll send his jet for them. You know, there's going to be a lot of clowns at the party. Et cetera, et cetera. So I guess maybe it's just a personal thing that I'm not sure if
we were talking about butt plugs earlier. What if he let you put the bat plug in your butt?
Jordan!
Sorry.
Jordan can, like, barely keep his mouth near the microphone. Because he's so excited he thought of the pun, bat plug.
Oh,
Jordan
man.
Is seriously tearing up right now. Because he's so excited about bat plug.
I'm hilarious. Anyways,
can I continue? I've made a decision. Can I make mine in case my cell phone is going to... Like,
absolutely, sure, Brian.
Just so you know, I don't leave everybody hanging.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Friends with Batman if I can use him to go to like other superhero parties and meet the whole...
Oh, yeah, you'll probably get to hang out. I forgot about the Justice League.
What's the answer, Jim? Do you get to meet other superheroes?
No guarantee, and probably not.
Oh, that's still so tempting, though. I think I'm going to go with a Batman just on the off chance I could meet Superman.
I'm going to go with Batman because I'd like to go to some balls that are being thrown by Bruce Wayne because, number one, unlike Jordan, I love balls, and wait a minute.
Ouch.
I didn't mean
really
to say that.
Really a gay joke, Jesse?
I really didn't mean to say that, Jordan. That. I swear to God. I thought I was making a debutante joke.
I want to put the bat plug in my butt.
I really did not mean to make that joke.
That's fine.
I
continue.
Swear to God. Okay, I want to go. What I'm trying to get at is that I own a dinner jacket, and I'm always looking for more opportunities to wear it. So I'm going to go with Friends with Batman. Brian, it sounds like maybe you're going with novelists since you can't meet other superheroes more than likely.
No, I think I'll go still with Batman on the chance.
Okay.
Because, you know, I could drink myself to death even without the novelist status, but I'd have to be friends with Batman just for the chance to meet Superman, I think.
Okay. Well, so it sounds like it's unanimous. We're all going friends with Batman.
No, I'm going novelist.
Oh, you're going novelist.
I'm saying novelist, yeah.
Jordan is the lone dissenter.
Why did you say novelist? I forgot.
Batman's probably a bad friend.
Yeah. Okay, so we got Brian and me are going with friends with Batman. Jordan is going celebrated novelist. Jim Rayall, the master of Would You Rather, what is the answer to this Would You Rather?
Well, guys, Jordan, well done. You have got the right answer today.
Ah, nice.
Boo!
Zing.
Recount.
It is novelist because fame and personal success and a place in history outweigh being someone's friend that happens to be totally awesome.
This is 2007.
Four more years.
Literature is irrelevant. This is the 21st century.
It's too dangerous being Batman's friend anyway.
Yeah, you said
that's
it, man.
True.
Well, get kidnapped and tied to something that will eventually lead to being sawed in half.
Jim Rayall, Master of Would You Rather, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Brian Hogg, our special guest, you're the creator of the video podcast Dot Boom that features puppet swearing.
Lots of that, and puppet sex as well, and nudity.
What's the website of the Dot Boom?
It's dotboom.ca. It's dotboom.ca.
And, of course, you created the puppet version of The Sound of Young America's Ask the Optimist, which on YouTube now has topped 200,000 total views.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet, huh?
It's the YouTube people have been watching it, though. I think a lot of them don't get the satire.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot. At one point, somebody's big comment on it was, frogs are amphibians, not reptiles. Like, really? That's what you got from this piece? From this social satire? Frogs are amphibians, not reptiles? Okay, well, anyway, thank you so much for doing this, Brian.
Well, thanks for having me. That's fun.
We'll talk to you guys another time. Thanks, dudes.
Cool.
See you, bud.
Jordan, Jesse, go. I'm Jesse.
Jordan.
We're coming to the end of our time. Long show this week, holiday travel edition. Very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Think there's going to be a lot of lively discussion on our web board.
Hopefully.
You know what I'm talking about?
It's web board. Bread and butter.
Lively web board discussion on this
5
show.
5 cents for every post.
I've got an action item for you, Jordan.
Okay.
Here's what it is. This is our holiday travel edition.
Mm-hmm.
We did this a little bit last year for The Sound of Young America. But I'm bringing it back because now we have thousands of listeners to Jordan Jesse Go. We had hundreds before. What was the worst holiday story that ever happened to you? Worst holiday story that ever happened to you? What is your worst holiday tale?
It's all fair game. Christmas, Hanukkah, Thanksgiving, Tet.
Kwanzaa.
Sure.
Tet, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know what was the worst holiday story that happened on Tet? The Tet Offensive.
Yeah.
And it really, really killed a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it showed that the Vietnamese could stand up to the Americans.
And Grandma didn't remember where she was.
Yeah. Anyway, your worst holiday story, give us a call and tell us what it is. 206-984-4FUN is the number. 206-984-4FUN. And, of course, we'll be discussing what holds up and what doesn't hold up on the message board, as well as all the rest of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get back from our holiday break, we will have the return of the animal battle.
Mm-hmm.
We're entering the semifinals. There's a couple of bye weeks here so the animals can get collected, collect their thoughts, so people can remove themselves sort of from the heat of things and get into a cooler headspace.
Calm down a little bit.
Stop freaking out. People were really starting to freak out, Jordan.
I was getting scared.
Anyway, so we'll be back with the semifinals and finals of the animal battle here in the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks on Jordan, Jesse, Go.